Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Teen suicide, it's a difficult and emotional topic. One has many aspects to it. It's not an easy conversation for sure, but a very important one. As you know, we've interviewed a number of experts in mental health in recent months, knowing that mental health and physical health are so closely woven. In the studio with me this morning is Dr. Robert Gregory, Associate Professor of Psychiatry at SUNY Upstate. Good morning, Dr. Gregory.
Good morning.
Dr. Gregory is a specialist in working with borderline personality disorders and people who are at high risk for suicide and self-harm. So, and this is teenagers and young adults in particular. This is who you work with.
Yes, that's correct.
And bless you for doing it. This is a difficult topic. I know that one teen suicide is too many, but how many teenagers attempt suicide in a year? Do you have statistics?
Yeah, the CDC, just in the last few months, came out with its 2005 statistics. So that's the Center for Disease Control, and they keep tabs in a very systematic way. So the statistics are, in fact, fairly alarming. Teen and young adult suicide is going up for the first time. Rates are rising for the first time in decades. Self-harm behavior is rising for the first time in, as far as we know, at very alarming rates. And according to the CDC, 9% of teens have attempted suicide. So that's almost 1 in 10 have attempted suicide within the last year.
That is just a very scary thought. Now, you're talking about self-harm as well. And how do you define self-harm?
Self-harm is an even more pervasive problem, and it's closely related to suicide, but separate, but closely related. Self-harm or deliberate self-injury involves the person intentionally trying to injure themselves in some way, such as the most common is cutting. That's by far the most common.
And when you say cutting, do you mean like taking a knife and cutting yourself?
Yes, absolutely. It can be a knife, very often a razor, sometimes a pen or a piece of glass.
And making slices in one's skin?
Yes.
With what
slices
in
the skin, it can be the arm, it can be stomach or thighs, and the intent is complex. There's been a lot of recent research, including some that I've done in this area, and it seems to be that people self-injure for different reasons. The most common appears to be, in some strange way, as a coping mechanism to when the teen or young adult becomes overwhelmed with some negative emotion, they'll turn to cutting or to other maladaptive behaviors sometimes and find some relief in that. It's not the only reason, but it's probably the most common reason.
Wow. All right, I didn't want to lose focus on what you were saying then. You were talking about suicide and self-harm in teenagers and young adults, and these rates are going up.
Yes. Actually, there have been now 7 major studies looking at rates of self-harm in teens and young adults, and the numbers are almost unbelievable in these studies, and yet they're very carefully crafted studies of thousands of high school students and college students, and the rates for the high school students have been 12 to 21%, and the rates in the college students have been 14 to 41%.
Wow.
The 41% being a study in Canada. And these studies are done in different parts of the nation and, as I point out, internationally. So it doesn't seem to be something confined to one area, but seems to be more in the, at least in Western industrialized societies, more an epidemic of some kind with very often devastating consequences for the teen or young adult.
Absolutely. Speak to me about when they do these studies, do they find differences, say, between the numbers of boys and the numbers of girls, or within cultures or ethnic groups? Is one group more at risk than another?
Yes. We used to think that there were a lot of gender differences, but the recent studies are showing that, for at least in terms of self-harm, both the boys and girls have about equal rates. In terms of suicide, the girls actually, for teen suicide, may even have a little bit higher rate than the boys.
And when we're talking about suicide, are you talking about attempts, or are you talking about those that actually are completed?
Yeah, even completed suicide in this age group. There's an old saying, you know, that the girls attempt it and the boys complete it, but in fact, there's very high rates of completed suicide in the girls,
in both.
And exactly.
I interrupted you. You were going to tell me about cultural groups and ethnic groups.
Yes. Native Americans, as teens or young adults in particular, are at much higher risk. And that depends on the region of the country, and it's not, you know, I'm talking about general rather than specific general trends. And African Americans seem to be at somewhat lower rates, but you certainly see suicide is knows no distinction of gender, race, or ethnicity, and you see it across the board at alarming, what I consider very alarming rates.
What are the reasons? I mean, I imagine that every person who attempts it has his or her own personal reasons, but can you make generalizations about the kinds of reasons they give? Is it relationships? Is it grades? Is it what would be the trigger?
Well, suicide and self-harm have overlapping risk factors, but for suicide, certainly having a major mental disorder is a risk factor.
And when you say a major mental disorder, you would be talking about?
The most common would be major depressive disorder or post-traumatic stress disorder, eating disorders, conduct disorder, and so a very important one I omitted was substance use disorders like alcoholism or drug use.
And is it one of those things where those disorders contribute to the tendency to want to commit suicide, or is it the tendency to commit suicide wants to lend somebody toward those disorders? I mean, I almost think it would be a vicious cycle.
No, it's a very perceptive question, in fact, and we know the associations for risk factors, but we don't know what direction is the causality. So,
I see.
So you're right, it might very well be a vicious cycle, for instance, or there may be some other problem, say social isolation, or how the teen or young adult is managing negative feelings and being able to process those in an adaptive way, which leads to both suicide and to a disorder.
I see. And now we were talking about, what are some of the other, you said the that these abuses are some things that they are leaning toward, and you can tie them together, but what are some of the other reasons that they might consider hurting themselves or committing suicide?
Yeah, a very big one is how well connected the teen or young adult is with other people. Do they have close relationships? And there are many exceptions to this, but it's a good general rule that people who are really well connected with others do not attempt suicide. People can appear to be well connected and appear to be popular and have a lot of friends, but be hiding inside feelings of alienation, feelings of emptiness, not knowing who they are as a person, and despair and hopelessness.
There's a big difference between having a lot of acquaintances and having close friends, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And friends can be very sustaining. On the other hand, if sometimes friends can also be a negative influence.
Peer pressure.
And there's something called a contagion effect, too, that if you're already considering suicide and you have a friend who's attempting it, for a teen who's still trying to figure out who they are, they may very well do a copycat suicide or participate in self-harm that their friends are doing as well. So there is that component. It's not the most common cause for suicide or self-harm, but there's definitely that factor to consider.
And what about, you know, one thing I've always kind of thought is that when a young person tries to commit suicide, they're doing it for the attention. They don't really intend to follow through on the whole thing. Do you find that very often?
Yes. I'm very glad you brought that up, because attention seeking is by far the largest myth for self-harm and suicide.
It's a myth.
It's a myth. It's a way for us to dismiss it and not worry about the person's behavior, because we can say, oh, they're just attention seeking. However, there have been several studies looking at that for both suicide attempts and self-harm, and it's only the minority of teens who use suicide or self-harm for some relational purpose. The vast majority of it goes hidden, and so the parents or an adult never finds out. They may confide in their friends, who may also be doing self-harm behaviors, but the vast majority goes hidden. And so you'll see kids wearing long sleeves and hiding their cuts, or full clothing in the middle of summer, because they don't want people to see all the damage that they're doing to themselves.
Wow. You know, I have so many more questions I want to ask you, and particularly risk factors, which you just started talking about. But we need to take a break for the news. Will you stay with us for a few minutes?
Yes, I will.
Thank you so much. And listeners, we do need to take a break, but we will be back shortly, so please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.